Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more discussing important topics in higher education. It's part of our partnership with KWBU-FM. I'm your host, Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Wes Null, Baylor University's Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education and Institutional Effectiveness. Dr. Null served as an Associate Dean in the Baylor Honors College, Acting Director of the University's Honors Program, and Founding Director of the PhD Program in Curriculum and Teaching prior to moving into the Provost's Office. An educational historian and researcher, Dr. Null has written numerous books on education, and he's with us today here on Baylor Connections. Dr. Null, welcome to the program. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you, Derek. I'm delighted to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, as we talk today, we'll learn more about what you do and how that serves Baylor students. Provost, the Provost's Office is a title that a lot of people have heard, but probably a lot of people don't know exactly what all goes on there in Patton F. Hall in terms of working with students. So we'll look forward to learning more about that today.
Happy to do it.
But let's start off a little bit of background with you, just a little bit, from your research to your books and certainly your jobs here at Baylor, higher education, teaching, curriculum theory. That's been your focus. What is it about the academy and the teachers who shape our students that so interests you?
Well, really, it was when I was an undergrad, but then as a graduate student, I just fell in love with the university environment, fell in love with the people, the idea of, you know, constant study and learning and reading and working with really bright people. But as far as Baylor is concerned, I fell in love with Baylor in 2001 when I came here to interview for a faculty position in the School of Education and also in the Honors College didn't exist, but it was a unique opportunity to teach both in the School of Education and the Baylor Interdisciplinary Corps. I had four or five interviews lined up at various places, and Baylor was my first stop. And I came here and just loved the campus, loved the people. Vision 2012 was hot off the presses at the time, this idea of building a Christian research university, and the opportunity in particular to teach courses in history and philosophy of education in the School of Ed, but then also teach in the Baylor Interdisciplinary Corps was a unique opportunity to sort of straddle two units. At the time, the BIC was in the College of Arts and Sciences and was in the process of moving. We had just launched a new honors college that we were searching for a dean and so forth. So it was a really, really unique opportunity for me to come here and integrate the liberal arts and sciences piece that's always been passion of mine with the professional preparation at the same time. So it's been a great place. I've been here 17 years, and we'll get to the provost office piece in a minute, but in the provost office for seven. So
that prepared you. Now let's talk about what it is that you've been doing for the last few years. Again, your title, it's a long one, Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education and Institutional Effectiveness. Let's break that down a little bit into bite-sized pieces. First, the undergraduate education aspect. What does that role entail and what all falls under your responsibility?
Sure. Great question, Derek, and appreciate the opportunity to talk about that. The Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education piece has been with me for 7 years now. Elizabeth Davis was the provost at the time who invited me into the office. And really, she saw her as provost being pulled more and more in a graduate and a research and external dimension. And she said, look, provost at Baylor has historically been focused on the undergraduate side of things, and I need someone who gets up every day and thinks about what it takes to provide high-quality undergraduate experiences for every single one of our students. And I'm being pulled in more directions, which rightfully so, as we build the institution to do more research and more graduate-level work. I need someone who focuses on the undergrad piece. So she brought me in, asked me to do that. What specifically does that? Well, anything related to curriculum development. Yeah, anything related to new program, new major, new minor, new secondary major, something like that. That process is, I oversee that process, working with the department, working with the school or college to do that, thinking through, okay, how might we make our program stronger academically? How might we help students graduate in 4 years? Or new exciting things. We have a vision for a new interdisciplinary major or a new interdisciplinary minor. How might we develop that, and where can we cut, where can we consolidate, those kinds of things.
when I was looking online, reading a little bit about the provost's office, one of the things it talked about was forming a common vision for undergraduate education at Baylor. How do you form a common vision at a large university like Baylor, and who all do you collaborate with on that?
That's a great question and a very important one, and that goes back to my earliest conversations with Elizabeth Davis about what she wanted that particular piece of my role to do. Well, who do I collaborate? That's perhaps the easier one. Lots of work with deans, lots of work with the other vice presidents, lots of work with associate deans and department chairs as well. How do we create a common vision? Well, we have to remember our mission at every step. I like to mention the four C's, as many people who have worked with me know, the four C's that hold together all of our undergraduate programs that grew out of our general education task force, which I was on 7 or 8 years ago, but now our general education committee. And those are communication, civic leadership, Christian perspective, and critical thinking. These are the four foundational outcomes that students, as I tell parents, will start orientation next week, as I tell parents and student and freshmen as they come in. Regardless of their program, oboe, aviation sciences, English, history, nursing, they will grow stronger in all of those four areas. And they all of our undergraduates take courses in those four C's. So regardless of whatever program, they're going to strengthen themselves. Communication, critical thinking, civic leadership, and Christian perspective. The first three are common at any college university, but Christian perspective is obviously unique to us. So there are other things I could talk about, but keeping our mission in mind with every decision and at the undergrad level, focusing on those four C's, I think has been helpful to us.
What have been the most meaningful aspects of shaping that vision? If, like you said, keeping the four C's in mind, but also guiding Baylor undergraduate where it's going to be going in the next few years, even as we've talked a lot about the university growing at the research and PhD level above mm-hmm. that.
Right. Well, I think it's important to say that there is no contest or competition between growing the graduate and the research piece and building out or continuing our longstanding commitment to undergraduate education. Those two work hand in hand. The very best undergraduates want to come to an institution where research is very, very strong, where we have faculty who are doing cutting edge research. That's what we've learned with recruitment, that the students we want here are the students who are also looking at the very best research institutions. The very best undergraduate programs are at the very best research institutions. If you look at U.S. News, you look at other rankings, you'll learn that the programs that have the best research enterprises also have the best undergrad, most highly ranked undergrad programs. So as far as where things are headed, I like to use a metaphor when talking about the 20th century compared to the 21st century when it comes to higher education and trends and so forth. Throughout the 20th century, what universities attempted to do and did do was to become more and more specialized, specialties, subspecialties, sub-subspecialties. I mean, the metaphor that I can use is of a tree that, we're trying to train people who know everything there is to know about the smallest vein on the particular kind of tree, within the particular kind of leaf, more and more specializations, know more and more about a smaller piece of the puzzle, which was great, and it did wonderful things for us. But ultimately, you end up with people who know a lot about one very specific thing but don't always really good at talking with other people and working in a community to solve problems. And so the 21st century is kind of, to some degree, the opposite of that, where we're trying to put things back together and trying to figure out how not just some people have to know everything there is to know about their particular specialty, all the veins on that particular leaf, if you will, but they also have to be able to see the big picture, to see the tree as a whole, and not just see the tree and understand the tree, but how to think about how we apply that knowledge in a particular context to resolve specific problems, whether we're talking about grand challenges, as they're talked about sometimes, or wicked problems, as they're talked about. The 21st century is moving in the direction of interdisciplinarity and research that helps to apply that knowledge to resolving some of the world's most difficult problems. And the undergraduates whom we want to attract want to do that. They want the kind of undergraduate research interdisciplinary opportunities that will prepare them for that kind of world. They want to think about not only understanding and coming to appreciate knowledge in and of its own right, but also how to apply that and impact the world and engage the world in which they want to engage it after they graduate.
We are talking to Dr. Wes Knoll, Baylor University's Vice Provost for Undergraduate Educational and Institutional Effectiveness. Now, what you've just described is very exciting and also for the students who are taking part in it, very rigorous. So I want to shift focus a little bit and talk about how universities, more specifically Baylor, work to help students be successful in that environment. Is that a trend in higher education, providing resources that help students learn how to best take advantage and best succeed in those opportunities presented to them?
Yes, that's a great question, Derek. And yes, this has been a trend for a number of years. We want to balance our academic rigor with support. As I tell students at orientation every year, the challenges that we have before you are only met by the resources we have in place to assist you. And this is a great opportunity for me to talk about our Success Center that I'm so very, very proud of, that's over in Sid Richardson Building, that is full of people who want students to thrive, who are there to help students, who wake up every day and come to work excited to help students. I mean, I would love to mention people in particular, Cinda Vanderpool, who does a lot for us at Baylor, but part of what she does is help to oversee a good chunk of the Success Center. She does a lot more than that, but that's one piece of what she does. Michelle Cohenauer works with our Student Success Initiatives area over there. Sally Furman, Academic Support Programs, Dave Osick with our Office of Access and Learning Accommodations to help students with disabilities, your Career and Professional Development Office with Marjorie Ellis, University Advisement with Joyce Miller as Director. And then we have exciting new McNair Scholars Program that's just up and running that Cinda has been so instrumental in helping us to launch. So it's this entire building full of people who are there to support students with tutoring, with high-quality advisement through our professional advising area, in particular university advisement. But to make sure students know that when they run into a difficult class, whether it's calculus or whether it's organic chemistry or intro to biology, there are people there who have succeeded who themselves, you know, our student tutors, for example, who may have struggled in their classes, but we have people there who want them to succeed. And the Success Center is not just for students who may have a 2.4 and are just, these are also for the students who have a 3.9 who are aiming, you know, to get as close to that 4.0 as they possibly can. We have a pre-law office, which is part of our Student Success Initiatives area that attracts some of our very, very brightest students. So the Success Center is there to help students and to draw upon all the data that we can get about them and about our programs to help them succeed at Baylor.
Talking to Dr. Wes Knoll, talking there about the Paul L. Foster Success Center. And how much does your office collaborate with the Success Center? You mentioned Student Success Initiatives, a new mm-hmm. office there in the Success Center. How do you work with them? And then let's even go a little more into the Student Success Collaborative, how that interplays sure. with the advisement section there.
Right. Well, I work with them every day because they report up through me in particular, but just staying in touch with them about the kinds of challenges that our students are running into, the kind of new developments that are taking place within the Student Success area. These folks are very well plugged into conferences, to the conversation nationally about what best practices are. You mentioned the Student Success Collaborative. This is a relatively new, we've been implementing it for a couple of years now, but it's both a software system and a collaboration with the Education Advisory Board, which is a consulting group out of Washington, D.C. And the Student Success Collaborative, it's a very powerful tool that uses data analytics to analyze how all of our students have done up to a particular point, takes into account all their grades that they've made. It takes into account also 10 years worth of curricular data on our own Baylor students, to provide really powerful information to our advisors. So when an advisor sits down with a student to talk with them about not only what classes they want to take next semester, but what some other possible majors might be for them, it takes into account not just how well that student has done and the grades they've made in particular courses, but also how students who have made those similar grades in the past at Baylor, Baylor students have done, and it calculates what some good changes of major for those students might be, and it displays it right there for our advisors. So, in other words, if you're looking at a pre-med biology student who is struggling, it shows a range of majors that student can and should consider when they're looking at other possibilities. Which the amount of migration that we have from some of our majors to other majors, like in particular pre-med biology, is very popular, but not everybody graduates and goes on to medical school. Helping those students know what majors to transition to based upon how well they've done and comparing that to how previous students in the same circumstance have done has been a really, really important step for us. We've set records in retention 7 years in a row. We've set records for four-year graduation rates 4 years in a row. I think I'm getting that maybe five, but at least four. And that's partly because of these wonderful people we have, or primarily because of these wonderful people and our hardworking students, but also putting the tools in place like the Student Success Collaborative so that we have the data analytics to share with our students to show them, okay, here's the data on how you've done up to this point. Look at these majors, and other students in this circumstance have done well by shifting from this major to this major, and helping them to do that as early as possible is important because we want them to graduate in 4 years, not just because we want them to graduate in 4 years, because college is a four-year thing intended to be, but also because we know that financially it's better for them.
Saving them and their parents thousands of dollars if they figure that out early on.
That's exactly right.
And that's something new. You talk about helping them pinpoint changing majors. Across the country, a very large percentage of students change majors at mm-hmm. college. But I'm sure for the students when they're in that moment, it feels like a mini – I don't know if crisis is too strong a word, but mm-hmm. where do they go? What do they do? Because for them, it's a very personal big shift in their life up to that point.
No, you're so right, Derek. And a change like that is not just for the students, but it's for their parents as well. I mean, helping students to have conversations with their parents about, look, my calling isn't what I thought it was coming in, but look, I've taken an English course and I've fallen in love with literature. I've decided that I want to do a pre-physical therapy option instead of a medical school option. Or I've decided that I want to go teach high school English for my career. Any of these options, these are very personal kinds of changes, and our advisors are extraordinarily good at helping students transition through that. But when students are struggling with, I don't want to be a physician. They deal with sick people. I don't want to do that anymore. But look, I've taken this, I took this class, and I just love what this faculty member, I want to be like that person. Helping them to see that, it's all part of the one big body of Christ here, and we're just shifting from one area of focus to another has been very helpful.
We are talking to Dr. Wesnall on Baylor Connections, Baylor University's Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education and Institutional Effectiveness. And Dr. Noel, we are winding down on the program, haven't even got to the institutional effectiveness point. Enjoy talking a lot about the work you do with students, but I do want to ask you about that second part of your title. What does that entail? How does it dovetail with the undergraduate education side of things? And what does it mean for Baylor as a whole?
Sure. Well, I'll be brief on this. I picked up that piece of things in October of 2016 when we had a retirement. Michael Mateer, who was Vice Provost for Institutional Effectiveness, retired and left the university. And Greg Jones, a provost at the time, asked me to pick that up. It has to do with using, in general, using data to make wise decisions, helping units and people institutionalize data decision-driven making, we could say. Data-driven decision-making, got it there. But the accreditation piece comes along with that, our SAC COC accreditation. And that has to do with, well, we had two recent visits. In October, we had one pertaining to a special committee that came to town, went very, very well. And then in April, we had our standard decennial reaffirmation, as it's called. A team of eight people came to town in April as part of that process. Both visits, I'm very pleased to say, went very, very well because of the hard work of people like Ben Cox, who works under me in that office, and so many, many other people. But our accreditation is critical. We cannot receive federal financial aid without SAC COC accreditation, nor can our credits transfer. And at no time in the last several years, as we worked through some challenges, was our accreditation ever in danger. We've been accredited since 1913, but it's very important that we maintain that. And we're on track to be reaffirmed by the SAC COC board in December.
In December.
So, yep, that's the plan. So everything's going well on that, and it's just an added piece that I took on. I'm glad I did it. I've learned a lot. It's a university-wide kind of thing. I mean, undergraduate education is specific to academic affairs. But institutional effectiveness and accreditation is a university-wide deal, so it takes into account athletics and takes into account finance and facilities. I don't oversee those areas, but the accreditation piece looks at the university as a whole, not just the academic piece.
And Dr. Noel, a final question here on the program. As you've been on this side of things now, in the provost's office, and as you said, looking holistically at the university and undergraduate education, how has that impacted your appreciation for the university, its people, and its students?
Well, that's a great, great question. You know, when I moved into the provost's office, I had been at Baylor 10 years, and I thought I knew a lot of people. But I certainly realized that I had about 100 people that I had to come to know and meet. I thought I knew the university well, and then you moved in the provost's office and came to recognize that, no, I don't know anything. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about this place. And then I took on the institutional effectiveness piece, which was much broader, as I mentioned, university-wide, that there are another 100 people that I needed to meet. So people at Baylor love this institution. They come here, as I have done, and they stay here because of our Christian mission, because of the uniqueness of the institution. And they will, for Baylor, I have learned that people will run through a brick wall because they love the institution and they love our mission. And if we get people headed in the same direction and channeling their own passion for the institution, we can do extraordinarily powerful things, and we are already doing. But under Illuminate, which I'm very excited about, and the undergraduate education piece I didn't even talk about is a critical pillar of that, we will continue to achieve great things.
Well said. And we'll definitely be talking about Illuminate more on Baylor Connections in the weeks and months ahead. We'll look forward to that. Well, Dr. Noel, thank you for joining us on the program. Really enjoyed talking to you today.
Thank you, Derek. I enjoyed it. I appreciate the time.
Dr. Wes Noel, Baylor University's Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education and Institutional Effectiveness, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. Thanks for joining us. A reminder, you can hear this and every Baylor Connections program online, baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.